When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on this morning with Dan Behrens, who's the Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me again.
I want to begin with one of the sure signs that the economy is moving forward, and that is cranes in the air. And we've been seeing quite a few of those ongoing in Chicago, despite the pandemic. Talk to us a little bit about construction in Chicago, how it's faring, and what it signals about how well the economy might be doing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Steve, I'm kind of in a unique position. Most of our the loans we put out are construction loans. I think probably close to 90-95% of our deals are construction loans. And, you know, crane activity is a good barometer for how the market's performing now. You know, I live in the West Loop, and I see quite a few tower cranes around here as well. With construction being considered as of last year, an essential business, it was good that the government was able to keep construction moving, keep projects on track, and keep hundreds of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, employed in the construction industry. So, I think that was a really smart move on the government side to keep construction progressing. There's a bunch of different pieces of evidence that you could use to kind of to track this. Obviously, tower cranes, one of them. One I found really interesting recently. Talking with an attorney I use quite a bit for some of our construction, for some of our loans. And he said he's never seen activity, loan activity, this positive in his career. He said he's having to turn away multiple deals just because of the sheer workload. So, you know, there's a bunch of indications pointing to a strong, robust economy and tower cranes, anecdotal evidence, my work schedule, all these things are pointing to a very positive future, which is a big positive when we look at how bleak 2020 was, at least in terms of, people requiring to stay in their homes and not being able to get out and interact with folks. So I think the more construction activity we have, the better the economy will churn, and it's good to see these construction loans that we have, at least in our portfolio of loans, seeing them pay off regularly, either through refinances or asset sales. I mean, that's just an indication of a strong working economy, and one I hope that's going to continue for the foreseeable future.
You know, we talk anecdotally about the cranes, but there actually is a group that counts the number of cranes, not only here in the Chicago metro area, but other metro areas as well. And I know there's an index of, what is considered good and what's not good. Talk to us about the numbers that we're seeing in Chicago compared to, let's say, I know Seattle was mentioned with in the quarter with having 43 tower cranes up. How do we shape up when it's compared to other cities?
You know, it's kind of a strange phenomenon, and where, Chicago tower cranes, I think now are at a dozen or so. That doesn't seem like a lot. I think in 2017, I believe it was, coming out of the previous downturn, I think it was in Mayor Rahm Emanuel's administration, I think there were over 50 tower cranes that were up at any one time. That's kind of a boom type number. But that's fewer than I think booming areas in the West Coast, particularly Seattle, and I think Portland has quite a few. But the strangest part, I think, is there are cities, larger cities, New York, San Francisco, and Chicago, that are seeing fewer tower cranes. You know, Chicago at a dozen, and I think New York and San Francisco were lower than the 12 that we have here in Chicago. Not too far outside of, I believe, Honolulu's was at 10 tower cranes. So it's kind of a good indication of where probably particularly, people are migrating, population patterns. Obviously, Seattle, Portland, Florida, those are areas that are drawing more people than, say, the traditional states or the larger metropolitan cities like San Francisco, New York, and Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting scenario, and it'll be interesting to see how those tower crane numbers continue to play out as people, leave what could be, you know, larger cities like Chicago and New York, and go to the Seattle's and Portland and Nashville and Austin, see how the activity and construction works in those booming cities.
And one of the things, too, might be to look at the project behind the tower, too, right? I mean, so like in Chicago, we have the Salesforce Tower, which is going up, and then in River North, we have two towers going up, the One Chicago development. Does it pay to look at the quality of the project that's underway, not just the single or double towers that are up?
Yeah, I think it definitely, you have to look at, you know, what the those buildings are being constructed. Like you mentioned, the One Chicago is it's a huge residential project in River North. You look at Salesforce Tower right along the river, the north and south, or the the north and south branch of the river there. You have an office building going up over by Union Station. You have the new BMO Tower that's going up. That's going to be an office building. Close to where I live in the West Loop, you have towers along Fulton that are continue to be office. So there's a bunch of different asset classes that are being built now. Obviously, that it's going to be, you don't want to have, I don't think, 12 tower cranes all constructing either office buildings or all constructing apartment buildings or all constructing condo buildings. I think to have a good mix of building types being put up is going to show a diversified, healthy economy for whatever city those tower cranes are building buildings in.
Yeah, and a couple of properties on LaSalle Street have gone up for sale, and I know people are watching these very closely because what happens with them could reveal how investors feel about Loop office space. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, I saw that buildings at LaSalle and Madison and another building at LaSalle and Washington, which is really kind of what I would consider, and I think traditionally has always been the heart of Chicago's financial district, were just listed for sale. You know, these buildings are kind of flush out, I think, two real huge questions surrounding the local office market. First, how do investors feel about just LaSalle Street in general? LaSalle Street buildings are older, the Class B buildings, and these buildings are competing with, you know, buildings that are being constructed further west. You know, how LaSalle Street is going to be considered in investors' minds versus like a Wacker Drive or buildings that are being built, like I mentioned, BMO Tower, closer to Ogilvie and Union Station. So I'm interested to see how that works, and also just in general how investors feel about demand for office space in the near future versus the work from home environment that most of us were either previously in or are still in. It'll be really interesting to see how these buildings trade or what they trade at. I think the Class B office market, which could be considered some of the buildings in the Loop, particularly on LaSalle Street, they were hit pretty hard. BMO is leaving to go to their named building. Bank of America left recently their building, and I think they occupied their building now on Wacker Drive. So it'll be really interesting to see what these buildings sell for on LaSalle. LaSalle and Madison is kind of ground zero, and so is LaSalle and Washington. I mean, you're across the street from City Hall there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I think the tough part about LaSalle Street is, you know, the buildings that are in the Loop are, you know, just older, and they require larger amounts of capital really to attract and keep tenants. They have to continue to build out space, and they have to build amenity space. They have to renovate, and they have to, update all their operating systems because, you know, they're inefficient. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, there's something else happening in Chicago. The mayor has announced a new infrastructure plan for Chicago called Chicago Works that'll be focusing on bridges and viaducts, streets and alleys, street lighting, neighborhood beautification, all of the things that are at the heart of operating a city and keeping it running efficiently. Talk to us a little bit about how the business community views this kind of investment and what this might mean moving forward for the city.
You know, I think this is going to be a very big boost for the city. I think updating infrastructure is something that's very critical for all kinds of real estate and all the residents of Chicago. I mean, you know, people don't want to have to drive under crumbling bridges or drive over streets that are covered in potholes. So I think with the infrastructure improvements that the city's planning for the streets and the alleys and bridges, I think it's going to be a big driver and hopefully continue to keep residents in the city.
I know you sit at some of the tables where the discussions happen with these deals. We were talking about the LaSalle buildings that are being marketed right now. From the buyer's perspective, how do they look at projects like this as important to their investment in a city like Chicago?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, you want to make sure that these buildings are accessible and that the city around them is one that's not declining. You want to make sure that the city in general is a good place to do business. And I think, it's slightly off topic, but I read an article this morning. I think Sam Zell is paying $3.4 billion to buy a large industrial landlord that owns like 120 properties. So this is kind of going back to our discussion on the office in real estate. You know, I think if you kind of read between the lines here, it's encouraging for the office market. You know, Sam Zell usually buys distressed office properties or companies. You know, I think maybe Sam Zell doesn't see the distress in the office market with people returning to their offices. And I think if we roll in the infrastructure improvements, hopefully that's streets and rail, it's just more encouraging for people to return to the office and, you know, continue life as we knew it in 2019.
Our focus has been primarily on the city today, but I know that you keep your eyes on the suburbs as well. What's the situation like in the suburbs? And I know Indiana is talking about doing some infrastructure projects. So even outside of the city, there are plans and preparation for further investment as we move into this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, municipalities are starting to really understand the importance of infrastructure, obviously with, you know, the population that's in the Midwest, you know, maybe and are coupled with the aging infrastructure that we have now, municipalities are starting to decide, hey, we really need to make an investment in the people and places where we live. So there's not a mass exodus of folks out of state and out of the region. You know, Indiana is going to do the same thing that the mayor is trying to do here, I think, but Indiana has a little bit better of a foothold to do it. I think they have a balanced budget and even a surplus in their budget, the state budget. So they'll be able to invest, you know, more amounts of money. It could attract additional residents and businesses across the border to Indiana, which hopefully is a indication to the state of Illinois to get their act together and make sure that they can provide safe streets and safe passage for the residents of Illinois. And if they don't, there could be residents move across the border, either, you know, call it Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan. These are places that are trying to attract bigger populations, and municipalities have to understand that they're going to need to spend some money to keep people within their borders.
And federally, I know this has got the attention of the Biden administration, too. More money could be coming on a national scene as well, too, from an infrastructure plan that the president has proposed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the local municipalities are hoping to get a piece of all these larger federal subsidies to help boost whatever plans they have in place. So, you know, I think any infrastructure improvement or any infrastructure spending is probably money well spent, particularly in Chicago.
Dan, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Always feel free to call me. 312-544-4657 is on my office phone, or my email address, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com.
Thanks for being with us today, Dan. We'll talk to you next time.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.